and serve in...
My name is Stephanie, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Stephanie.
And I'm a member of the Larchmont Group that's conveniently located in Larchmont, New York. And my sobriety date is June 22nd, 1983. I'm older than AA. Makes it, you know, I'm very happy that it was here when I wanted it, but I often think back on what did people do before there was an AA, and I'm glad I didn't have to find out. You know, I was born in wealthy Westchester County. The only problem was we weren't wealthy. We weren't poor, you know, but my mother thought maybe my father would never find another job that was commensurate with his ability, so he stayed home for a long time. But, and it was the Depression, so don't tell me about the economy today. And, you know, I've got to be honest with you, I did not sit in the third grade or the seventh grade and say, gee, when I grow up, I want to be an alcoholic. I wanted to be a fireman or the first woman president of the United States. I have one little problem. Dr. Silkworth says that we are restless, irritable, and discontent unless we have something to replace the alcohol that we had been drinking. I came out of the womb restless, irritable, and discontent. Nothing was right, it wasn't good enough, I felt empty, I was scared, I was shy, and I tried my best not to look that way or to have you realize that. How I looked was very important, not how I was. And it's funny because I found out, probably the hard way, a lot about AA before I actually got here. But I missed one little point. And that was that bad is good in AA, and better is even better yet. I mean, if I could say to you, I killed five nuns in a blackout, you would not, you know, be shocked. You'd say, oh, can you come to our convention? You're just... You're just what we're looking for. So I'm really embarrassed to admit to you, I do not have a grammar school drinking story or a high school drinking story or a college drinking story or a graduate school drinking story. Sure, look how I got all that in, and I just have a short time to talk. I don't even have a young married drinking story, and I'm truly embarrassed about that. But once I started, I kept my eye on the ball. And I made up for lost time and all of that wasted time. And I drank at a furious rate. And if you would leave me alone, and believe me, towards the end, people were really leaving me alone a lot, I could be falling down, passing out drunk two, maybe on a weekend, three times a day. And it was painful. When I got here, I felt like I had been hollowed out. There was just nothing left inside me. Now, let me tell you a little bit about, while I was busy drinking, how things were going at home. First of all, my husband died 5 years ago, and when he died, he had 40 years sobriety. And when he came into AA, I can't tell you how grateful I was. I'd worked very hard to get him there. And his sobriety meant a great deal to me, but not enough to keep me from drinking on a daily basis like a pig or a fish, neither animal that I've ever seen drink. And I would tell people how much his sobriety meant to, and I really meant it. but it couldn't get me sober. We're kind of the Trapp family singers of AA. I have 7 children, no wonder I drank. And all of them are sober in AA. And some of them have more sobriety than I do. My oldest grandson celebrated a year last November. So we're keeping up the family tradition. I didn't want to be doing what I was doing. I did not want to be drinking at my husband when he was trying to stay sober, nor my children. When I look back and see the faces of those kids, there was a look in their eye of utter disgust over what their mother had become. I mean, they couldn't believe it. There was fear because they never knew what was going to happen next. And there was pity, over what the kind of person I had become. And it wasn't easy. And it hurt me. And it bothered me, but not enough to get me sober. I would have told you in sincere honesty when I came to AA that I had broken every principle I ever had. What I know today and have known for quite a while was that I never did have any principles. I did what was convenient. I did what looked good. I did what made you think I was doing the right thing. I only cared about what I looked like. And so I hid for a long time because I didn't want anybody I thought to see me or to worry about me. I think the single worst thing I did while I was drinking, other than the fact I drank quite a bit, was I drove on a regular basis, drunk as a skunk. And I had a reputation for sobriety, and so parents would call me up and say, could I pick up their kids at the 7th grade dance? And I'd say, yes, no problem. And there was a big problem. And I did it again and again and again. And I can't believe that today. Now, while I was drinking and busy being a failure, I guess, and emptying out anything good that was in me, I was not without a resource. I decided somewhere long before I came to AA that I would ask God for help. A lot of people gave up on God. I just got very angry with him because I didn't get the answers to my prayers. My first prayer was, please God, let me return to social drinking. And I prayed that for quite a while, and it didn't seem to be working out. So I please God, let me get sober, but don't make me have to go to AA. I don't want anybody in AA, and there were a lot of people in AA in my house, to know I need help. They never suspected. And I finally changed my prayer to, please God, give me the courage to go to AA. I told you I got here on June 22nd. On June 21st, I was arrested for shoplifting. This did not look like the answer to prayer. It didn't smell like the answer to prayer. And I very frankly couldn't see that it had anything to do with my drinking. I was embarrassed because it was a $12 pair of sandals in Payless Shoe Store. And I had shoplifted from a lot better stores than that. See, I might look like the lady who spilled a little sherry in the club and decided to go to AA, but I got a criminal record. So I went home, and I was going with this plan. of what, you know, how I was going to hide this and get away with it and all that kind of stuff. Now, I did not have to look up intergroup's telephone number. I did not have to find out, you know, where was the nearest meeting or anything. I just had to reach over in bed and tap AA. Who said, you woke me up at 4 a.m. to tell me you're an alcoholic? So much for the hand of AA reaching out. And I told him, yes, I did, because I was afraid if I hadn't, I would have changed my mind by the time anybody woke up. And I went to my first meeting that night. And through the grace of God and the help of people like you, and, well, not quite this big a meeting, but in meetings like this, I haven't found it necessary to have a drink since then. I thought having to go to AA was the worst thing that had ever happened to me, and it turned out to be the best. I don't mean... and my impression was that, yes, you would help me not drink on a daily basis, but I really didn't get it that you turned my life upside down. And that hopefully a day at a time I could try and make the effort to be a different kind of person on a daily basis. I am so grateful to the women who have been my sponsors, to the groups that I have belonged to, not because I get angry at groups, but I've moved. I don't know how Bob and I missed each other in North Carolina, but I lived there for 9 years, and but I was sober. And in any case, I've lived in different parts of the country, and you know, when I first went someplace, the first time when I was a year sober, I moved, and I was scared to death that I wouldn't be able to stay sober. And I thought they were doing it wrong in Miami, Florida. They were just doing it slightly differently. And they were very happy doing it that way. And they didn't want my help, you know, get them straightened out. I no longer feel like an empty vessel. I no longer feel like there's no purpose to my life. When a couple of years ago, one of my sons had to write an obituary for his father, and he didn't want to say he was in AA, and so he said, my father lived by the, or this man lived by the code of trust God, help others. Trust God, I'm for crying out loud, what's the thing? Don't, stay sober and help others, whatever. I'm not nervous. And so, you know, it's just, I am so blessed. I am so fortunate. I have such an exciting, interesting life. And I never would have been here, much less been here for it, if it hadn't been for meetings like you, like there is today here. In 1967, Bill made a talk at the General Service Conference, and he said that AA and the members of AA had been given three great graces, and a grace is an unearned gift. The first one is recovery from a potentially fatal illness, and the second one is a life experience that enables us to help someone else make the same recovery. And the third is an ever-widening vision of God's reality and love. Each of you, and as well as I, have had the chance to have recovery from a potentially fatal illness. And we have a story that can help somebody else make that same recovery. And we have an opportunity for an ever-widening vision of God's reality and love. That's my prayer for you, my prayer for me. Thanks.